Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, welcome to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday the 14th of March. Without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep this show to yourself and promise me that. I tell you this from now. And yeah, I've got the Sweet G.
Yes,
right here.
Wagwan people.
Pan of Control Tower.
Everything is everything.
Yo, me, I say take the G from Gabicha, true.
No, summer. G still did a solid. Am I G that, you know?
Enough respect to CV who don't present upon international duty.
Yeah, duty call up, you have to take the duty, you know? Come
yeah,
first.
Man. Yeah, CV, you know, worry yourself, got intention safe and easy, yeah? So, you know, what's been going on, G? You good?
Me good, me all right. Me all well on same way, you know. Just take each day as it come, yeah? Things are different now when you're not working and stuff, so... What goes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, so true.
Well, you won't understand that yet because you're still grafting, aren't you, mate?
Well, me graft sometime and sometime me just labour, you know?
Yeah, man, I saw it figure still.
Because, you know, you've got to kind of like just take some little time out for yourself. I mean, just off air we were talking about fitness and that and how important it is. And I hope your people out there are taking time out as well to kind of invest in yourself too, yeah?
Yeah, try to little something. And if it's just sitting up on the chair and lift up 2 foot sometime, your arm and thing. Just try to little something, forget the body, you know?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So on with the show. Hey, have you heard about Alexander the Great? We're talking about Alexander Usyk, of course. He's been ordered by the WBO to begin negotiations with Mr. Joseph Parker for a mandatory title defence.
Yeah, they've cut out Dubois, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they have to fight this man first.
I think they're right, really. You know, because like Dubois missed his kind of opportunity through no fault of his own, kind of like little bit ill, took ill. Was it about 24 hours before the fight against Parker?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and Bacoli flew in and earned his couple of million pounds for what? 2 minutes and plus seconds.
That's a good pay, that.
100%.
I'd have took that.
Definitely. I mean, Parker, 33, retained his interim WBO title in February. Just gone in the second round, knockout against Martin Bacoli. Usyk is the WBC, WBA, Super and WBO heavyweight champ, thanks to his second successive victory against Tyson Fury last December. Usyk, 38, and Parker have 30 days to find an agreement or the WBO will order a purse bid proceedings. I'm not sure exactly what that entails. It's like, will the WBO just say, yo, we want to know, you know, what's the purse, how much you're putting up, and we can deal with that, no problem. So it's up to the promoters and that to thrash it out and get an agreement. and they've got a month to do that. Now, Dubois, who holds the IBF heavyweight belt, is already in talks to fight Usyk for the undisputed heavyweight title. Dubois will set face on Parker. Sorry, Dubois was set to face Parker on 22nd of Feb, and that's when Bacoli stepped in, but withdrew because, you know, he wasn't feeling too well. I think he had some kind of like virus in his system. Parker held the WBO title between 2016 and 2018, beating Ruiz. Can you remember that fight?
Yeah, I can. I think they have done the right thing, like you said as well, give this guy a shot at it, really and truly. You know what I mean? But there was that controversy, weren't there, with Tyson Fury and the IBF title when he fought Usyk back, because they wanted to take the belt out, to take that belt out of it, saying it wasn't supposed to be part of that championship. You remember all that hype that went off, and then there was all this
vaguely
racist thing that Tyson Fury was saying, how the IBF were treating him and stuff like that as well. He accused him of racism and that, because they didn't talk to him, they were making certain decisions and then just telling him how it was going to be. I mean, so really, I think this fight should be a good, decent fight when it comes about.
I think so. And I tip Usyk over Parker every day of the week for me.
Right.
Every day of the week. Now, if it was Usyk against Dubois, then that's a different thing, because why? Daniel, you know, the Lions Den is a hungry youth at the moment. I'm not saying that Parker's not hungry, but I just think that Dubois got a little bit more about him.
And Dubois got something to prove as well.
Yeah, definitely.
For Dubois, to me, this fight between him and Usyk is more of a revenge thing as well for him, because he was shortchanged when they first fought him the first time, if you remember. Big time he was shortchanged, because really, for me, he won that fight.
Okay, I mean, I think Saudi are set to host this fight. They've hosted a lot of big fights in the past. You know, with the Usyk 2 most recent contest against Fury taking place in Riyadh. Usyk was undisputed champion at cruiserweight before stepping up to the heavyweight and achieving the same feat. However, the Olympic gold medalist vacated the IBF title following his first win over Fury back in 24, which meant interim champion Dubois was upgraded to the full champion before his victory over Joshua in September. And that was a fight as well, innit?
Yeah, definitely.
Sticking with boxing, I mean, did you see Dubois' sister have that fight the other day?
I saw clips of it.
She's pretty good, isn't she? Yeah, I watched the wrong fight, me. Because like I glimpsed on it and I thought this looks pretty tasty, but I did watch Jonas against the
I did miss that one there.
And I thought, you know what, I picked the wrong one, you know what I mean, that on that occasion I got it wrong. But like I said,
I'm sure it'll be on YouTube somewhere to find that fight. Yeah, that, really, because they all always end up on YouTube. If you're patient, you can literally see a full fight on YouTube after a few weeks or something. They're usually there if you just look for them.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, I'm due to watch his sister fight. I've seen highlights of it, but I've not actually watched the full-blooded fight itself.
To be honest, I never heard of it until the other day. It just popped up there on a clip thing by the
boss. Oh, she's dangerous.
And they're saying, well, they don't really talk or something.
Yeah, that's
they?
Right. Yeah, they fell out. Oh, she's dangerous.
So them say.
And she were fighting this, I think she were Japanese. And she kind of could give it as well. And the last two rounds, they were both trading toe to toe, blow for blow. Yeah, it was. They were basically leaving it in there, and even the kind of like the pundits were saying the boy don't even have to trade. She's kind of like won the fight. So basically, was she risking it for a biscuit? But you know, she was strong gal, And yeah, take my cap off to her. It was a good scrap. Definitely worth watching that, big time. This other fighter, what I want to discuss, is the, what's it like, Harding, Heather Harding. I've not really kind of heard of her, really, to be honest with you.
No, nor have I.
But her story is quite remarkable. It goes like, with her left eye swollen shut, blood pouring from her forehead, Heather Harding tells her ringside doctor that she wants to continue. A bit like a, if you set the scene, a bit like a Rocky movie, you know,
yeah,
one of them fight
yeah.
there, yeah? She strides back to the centre of the ring, beats her chest and shouts, "I don't care." Says that a couple of times. 20,000 strong crowd in America Airlines Center in Texas rises to its feet, you know, in appreciation, admiration for a true warrior, gladiator style.
Yeah, listen, we've all seen a few women boxing now, and you have to give credit where credit is due.
100%.
These women are tough. They're not going in there for little girly girly slap slap slap. They're laying into people big time, like it's man a man you're watching. And I have to admit, it is quite very entertaining to see women
definitely.
Slugging it out in there.
Especially that soprano, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. she's a monster in there, you know. But yeah, I mean, this Heather Hardy is 42. Never been a quitter. She's got them kind of habits of a lifetime, fights to the death, you could say, you know.
Full heart, my friend, full heart.
Definitely.
She goes in full heart, she's not giving up.
And it was her fight against the champion, Serrano, who we've just been talking about. They met in the middle, touched gloves, and then the frantic action resumes, throwing heavy shots for the last 15 seconds. And then, you know, one final round, all-out action, blows going in, fighters embrace. And she says that, you know, she's gave boxing everything and still got nothing to show for it. I mean, you know, we can see a picture of this gal in here. And if you go on YouTube and stuff, you can see it the same. I mean, it's like...
She's mashed up compared to Soprano, isn't it? Look at her face.
Her Soprano, jaw just man. Lean up south. Gone south. You know what I mean? And what a fight. I mean, at 42, do you think she should be in the ring? Or who are we to say, to question that? At 42, she shouldn't be there.
You see, this is it, you see. I mean... Yeah, 42, but she's still got heart. She's still, and she can fight. But we have to remember, like Soprano there now. She's quick. She's fast. And she can fling a punch. So for her to match up with her, it's not really, look at it as a fair fight now, do you? Whatever else. You know what I mean, if she's fighting somebody maybe her age who's as slow as her, then maybe so. But up an opponent like Soprano, my money's on Soprano every day of the week.
Mm.
She's quicker, she's faster, she's harder than her. And I'm not taking nothing away from Harding, but I think her time now, when you get to certain ages and stuff, you need to just pull back.
Yeah. I mean, if you, you know, like I said, you know, if you go on YouTube, you can see a picture of Heather Hardy. She's just battered and bruised, but like she said, you know, true kind of like warrior. So, you know, she'll go out on a shield. The only thing kind of what she knows really. But you know, every so often you come against something that you just can't tackle, and that is Serrano.
I mean, where do you draw the line though when it comes to like certain sports now? Like boxing's a physical hard sport now. Where do you draw the line, like when it comes to age group and stuff like that? You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to affect you. I mean, if you're slower and everything, whatever else, and somebody like Soprano's licking into you, you're going to cause more injury. It could cause brain injury and stuff like that. I mean, so where do you draw the line?
I mean, you've said it there, G. I mean, talk about brain injury and that. I mean, over the years, you know, she said that she's lost so much brain that she can't afford to lose anything else, you know? The external scars have long since healed. but internally they linger and may never disappear. A few months ago, from announcing retirement, Hardy is still coming to terms with having rug snatchers from underneath her, you know. You know, them days, you know, she were crying and stuff, and it's understandable because everything she ever did, she maxed out, left it in the ring, like we said. You know? But, like, I can remember some time ago when, you know, boxing, when I first started really watching boxing on TV, there was this boxer called Johnny Owen, and he was this Welsh guy. And I thought to myself, this guy is going to lose his life in the ring. And unfortunately,
he did.
He did pass away. I mean, there was nothing on him. And the blows, what he took, was kind of like, oh, he was, you know, it ended his career. I mean, yeah, it's one of the hardest sports. I mean, some people would
blows to the heads and
people
stuff.
Would probably say that it is the hardest sport, but over the years, what tarnishes that for me is that we've seen some proper teething in it, you know, with the judges stuff.
And that
just spoils it, man.
Yeah, yeah. When you're talking about, like, now these warriors going in there and they're doing their hearts and souls into it, and then you get teeth out of a victory or something like that because it's about money and stuff like that, that is wrong. You know what I mean? But that's where things are these days, isn't it? But you as a person as well, I know you're putting your heart and soul into it, but you as a person should know to say when you have enough, when your body's had enough, when you have certain things going on in your head, and like you just said there about Harding, certain things with her brains going off, and she's still going and putting herself in the ring. I mean, why do you want to do that? So this is what I'm saying, they really need to now, for me, from a medical point of view, give certain checks, certain scans before these boxers go in the ring, maybe, if they got up for a fight. And if they're up for it past the medicals, then crack on. But to just send somebody in there when you don't know really what's going on is a big risk.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I hear everything we ask them on, you know. You know, but whatever Harding decides to do, we wish her the best, you know what I mean?
And
you know, we just, you don't want to see people kind of like get hurt in the ring, but that's the nature of the beast, you know what I mean? You know, because you've got to realize that your opponent's kind of take off your head, you know what I mean?
Period.
So
you're both in there to do the same thing.
Tough sport, man. Tough sport.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, well, like the other day, I saw the video of what he was talking about, the two Eubank and Ben, the junior them and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there were a few other clips in there.
And a Ruckus. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the hype's just been passed on to them, but Ben seems to be more aggressive about it all than what Eubank. It looks like Ben's taking it more personal and stuff like that. He's got something to prove here now. And anyway, the boxing match between the seniors is on YouTube now. The full fight is there now, whatever. And anyway, I was watching the one that with Michael Watson and stuff, the damage that happened to him and everything. And I was thinking at the point now, when you look back, when Watson got knocked down in the 11th round, whatever it is, and he got back up for the 12th, you could see straight away he wasn't there. And I could not understand, when you think about it, everything's different in hindsight, is why the trainers would have sent him out like that. And why the referee didn't pick up on it to him, let's say, no, you can't go no further. Because he was clearly hurt.
Yeah,
definitely. Could see it was clearly there. He was not ready. I mean, I saw that fight. I watched the fight and I was thinking the same thing then. Why are they making the man come back? Look what happened to him.
True.
But he's recovered to an extent and it's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all
good. I mean, are you convinced now that Ben and Eubank is gone past the Panther stage, and this is for real?
Yeah. And just reading something here now, they were in another press conference, and Ben's lost it.
Is it?
Ben's lost it. So Eubank is pushing the right buttons. He's pushing the right buttons where Ben it's just biting all the time now. And Segura is like to jumping again. And when you look at Ben's face, you can see it on his face. He wants to tear up Eubank.
Was his old man there, Nigel?
No, I didn't see that. They just focused on that there, whatever else. So if this fight is going to happen, and really, it should be a pretty, pretty good fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But who's going to come on top? I don't know. I mean, senior.
I'll make a prediction nearer the fight. You know what I mean? Because, like, when I see Ben, obviously the younger model, he's kind of like, obviously quicker, got the pace.
And he's also got the power as well.
Yeah, and Eubank's got the experience and stuff like that. Eubank's just seems a little bit more calmer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Within himself.
Yeah.
You know? And he knows he's got a job to do. Like I said, what just takes the edge off again for me is that they've already negotiated, you know, a second fight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. When you're going to say that now, so what's going to happen in the first fight?
Yeah. And then second fight, you know.
If it's a 1-1 thing now.
Yeah, whoever wins, this man will look for revenge and that, and this is what he needs to do better. If it's a draw, you know, the kind of pundits will be saying, not for me, I don't know what this judge was watching out there. Do you know what I mean? Is it going to be one of them? Is the judge going to get a backhander? I mean, it's sad that we're kind of like chatting about this.
But that's
it with boxing.
Yeah, it's like
me and you could watch a fight and say, boy, this guy's won it hands down. And then next minute, it's gone to a split decision. And it's like, what?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, this is not a title fight, right?
No, it's not a title
fight.
So
for me, while we're taking it further, like I've said before, while we're taking it further, make them have them one fight and done. All in on this one fight. All win-win argument done. Let's move on.
I hear that. Let's move on. Yeah, man, I hear that.
I mean, I think my feelings now, the way Ben is acting, I honestly think Eubank is going to psych him out. Because he's biting all the time. He's losing his rag. He's losing his temper. And I think when they get in that ring, I think Eubank's going to be talking in his ear and he's going to psych him out. Either Ben's going to do something stupid or he's going to get catched.
Okay, so training one sport, you know, physical encounter to a different sport.
Something more calmer.
Yeah, well, calmer for some people, but, you know, like we said, the big elephant in the room is still there.
Here we go.
You know, cricketer victimized for speaking on racism. I mean, yeah, like, we know it's never going to go away like the weather. You're never going to be able to stop the sun from shining, from the rain from dropping on your face. You know, people picking up snow and throwing the snowballs. But like, a top cricketer who blew the whistle on racism in the sport was victimized for speaking out, according to an independent report. The original complaint by Majid Haq led the governance of cricket in Scotland being branded institutional racist in a review which was published in 2022. The sports governing body then asked for further investigations to be carried out into racism allegations, one which suggested that Mr. Haq had been victimised. Cricket Scotland said this report was just one of a number of legal options it had reviewed and refuted any claims that it was not addressing the issue of racism. It also said that implementing more than 200 recommendations for improvement. Over 200 recommendations!
That's a lot, isn't it? That's a joke, man. That's a joke. So what happened to the last guy, the guy that was playing for Yorkshire? And we had that racism thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
We had all recommendations then and everything else. So what's happened? What's changed? Obviously nothing.
Yeah, that's
for
it.
For this to crop up again.
Different day, you know?
Different day, different place. But the thing is, it's never going to stop, is it?
No, sir. Mm-mm. I mean, like, you know, I mean, if they're saying that there's over 200 recommendations, what have they been doing for the years, man?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, have they just been just sat on the backsides and that?
Yeah,
you know,
because
what I mean?
At the end of the day, it's minority, isn't it? If there's one Asian guy, one black guy in whatever county, team, whatever, and the players, you just push it one side and hope it go away, but you just don't know how it's affecting that player. I mean, it's a joke to some people. It's not a joke to you. And when you're stand alone and somebody's keep coming out with these jokes, which they see as jokes, but you don't, it does affect you, innit? And you have to speak up in the end. It's either that or you're going to box stone man, innit? And everything done them time. Yeah.
It's true, you know? I mean, how can they stop it? Well, they can't.
They can't.
And I think that's probably one of the mistakes what they do. It's like, oh, we need to stop this. And they're trying to stop it this how, that how. Instead of kind of like, yeah, they'll reduce it, bigger fines and sanctions and that all day long. But they're getting that much kind of cash. Do you know what I mean? I don't think sometimes they're really bothered about it, to be honest with you, you know? But, yeah, racism in the sport is very much
alive. I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, if you're like what you just said there about fines, which we've said before, if it's happening and you're fining people, obviously they've got money, they're not bothered, suspend them. Suspend them from certain amounts of matches and that. You've got to hit them certain ways where they think, you know what, this could end up costing me a career, or it could end up costing me money, whatever else. Or do something to... There must be something you can do.
True.
Must be something you can do. Next year you don't get your contract short. I don't know, whatever else. But there must be something you can do to sort these things out. Because if you don't find a way, it's just going to crack on till somebody else is going to lose them head one time.
Definitely. I mean, hey, do you know about Stuart Pearce? Ex kind of like footballer. You know, this is what happened to Pearce.
Today, since the weekend, after we heard some concerning news, and the news came through about our own TalkSport's own Stuart Pearce. Nottingham Forest legend, of course, England legend. What was going on with Stuart? Stuart reportedly fell ill whilst travelling on a flight from Las Vegas to London. Now, that flight was diverted to Canada, and we understand that thereafter, Stuart recovered in hospital after this health scare on board the flight, and the hospital in St. John's, Canada, treated him very well. But many people still get in touch, even now. How is Stuart Pearce? We're about to find out. Stuart joins us live from Canada. And Stuart, first things first, delighted to be speaking to you. There he is, live on YouTube for all the people who want to watch. How are you?
Absolutely brilliant. I went to meet my maker last week, and it wasn't God. It was actually Lord Jordan sat in his seat that I actually went to meet. But he said, your time's not up, big fella, and sent me away. So, in all seriousness, I'm in good form. Just on the flight, had sort of chest pains and stuff like that. So the crew on Virgin were brilliant, looked after me fantastically, and then just said, look, we're not going to take a chance in travelling across the Atlantic. We're going to drop you off. So we're down in St. John's, Newfoundland, and been here for 10 days now, I think, you know, and just 5 days in hospital and a few days out of hospital, sat here. The only downside is our bags went on to London, and the only thing that we were left with was actually Martin Keown's autobiography. You know, when you think things can't get any worse, you're stuck with Keown's biography for the duration.
You weren't reading that on the plane at the time, were you?
Well, strangely enough, no. Well, it could have been. But listen,
you had a funny turn after chapter 5. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
No, I can't speak highly enough. I've got to say, I've had some brilliant messages from people. Carol's been fantastic looking after us. I've been fortunate enough to get to watch a few games. The Forest game against Man City was very, very humbling. You know, I saw that and saw the bits and pieces that come out from that. And thank you for your two messages and everybody else that have sent messages of support. It's very, very humbling.
Oh, Stuart, I mean,
Stuart P.
Pierce,
you know, had a near kind of like
yeah,
mistake.
Glad he's all right still. Glad he's
all right. Definitely.
Still.
I mean, what kind of like scary that, innit? Flying from the US back to London, but you know,
30,000 feet up in the air, and you're tech sick.
Told your missus to alert the crew that is having a few chest pains. I mean, you know, it was saying that his resting heart rate was 155 beats per minute.
That's a lot.
And the normal resting heartbeat should be anything between 60 and 100. You know what I mean? So,
that
you know,
heart was going rapid,
wow, 10 to the dozen. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, the cause of that, who knows? You know, you're talking kind of, because the body needs kind of like some oxygen. Stress can bring things on like that, illness, dehydration, blood not kind of pumping around your system quick enough, you know. And it must have been kind of like fairly
scary.
Frightening that. Yeah, definitely,
scary.
You know. But, you know, I mean, Pierce, he had a decent kind of like career as a footballer. He had a nickname, Psycho. I'm not sure if he was aware of that, G.
Yes, and I understand why.
Unflinching and uncompromising style.
And he got wound up on that pitch, he'd lose it.
He caused the most amount of carnage.
He did.
You know what I mean?
He'd lost it. Like he'd lost the plot completely.
I mean, managing career, Forest, Man City, England, Great Britain, a win rate of 30.8. So he had 32 wins, 26 draws, losses 46. I thought that was quite high.
He's had a good career, hasn't he?
101, yeah.
He's had a good career from playing football to going into the managerial side, and he's done all right for himself.
100%. So yeah, Stuart Pearce, wishing from Sweet Talking Sport and GCV, you know, wishing him, you know, all the best health in the coming months, the coming years. May ever, you know, Psycho continue.
Psycho.
Aye. Got a little bit of a thing going on here. About this kind of referee, Joe's Montero, suspended from the weekend matches amid controversy with Real Madrid. He's obviously, I'm not sure if you know, but you know, he sent Bellingham off for a remark the Englishman made that was considered an insult last week, sparking controversy in Spain. But he did not stop to judge this week on the matter, but there are suspicions that may have professional relationships with the company telling to sport.
So what you're saying then,
in La Liga, UEFA and clubs such as Man City and PSG, sorry?
So what you're saying then, he made a wrong decision or something?
Well,
he was a bit aggressive with making the decision.
Well, looking into it, they're saying that there's a big kind of question mark.
Oh, but it should have gone.
About this guy, yeah? The Spanish Football Federation and the Technical Referee Committee have taken cautious approach, leaving the matter in the hands of the legal and compliance departments. Although no further charges have been filed, Montero has deleted all traces of Talento Sport from his LinkedIn profile, including deleting the profile itself.
Wow.
Has he got anything to hide?
I doubt me did, just like I say, like how we're talking about when Sport getting go into the way now because of money and stuff like that. We know it's happened in football before, so let's wait and see what comes out to this. I haven't seen that match, so I don't know what the sending off was for Bellingham, but Mount Beppe there, what we was looking at on the screen there, it's like he was a bit upset about that as well. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, he's got kind of like you know, obviously the links with you know, with Man City again. I'm saying again. Also with Aston Villa as well. The referee was removed from duty
because of his connection with the clubs. And it's stated in the Marca, which is a Spanish sports media paper, of his kind of like his exclusion. I mean, he's been investigated. UEFA, category, second category referee. So basically, he's qualified to affiliate at low level of UEFA competitions such as the Europa League, international qualifications, and not considered for high level such as the Champions League. So his ties with Talento Sports, it's a consultancy and sports management company founded by the referee himself, you know. So there's a lot there.
Controversy.
Yeah.
Why put yourself in this position, man? I mean, you must know what you're doing. You must know if you've got these things, you've got to tell certain authorities about it so they know it's on record, so they don't put you in this position in the first place. And if you end up in them situations, you should speak up, really, isn't it?
100%, G.
But why? Crook is crook, innit?
Yeah. I mean, can you remember Balotelli? He always used to wear that T-shirt, didn't it? Why me? Or why always
me? Yeah, underneath his shirt. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, when I think of the kind of wrongdoings, what kind of like City I've kind of like been alleged or associated with, it's counting, you know?
It's counting, okay.
It's counting up because, you know, the main one is the allegations for fudging financial rules whilst on the rise to their current status. 115 charges, as we know, 80 for breaches of relegation dating back to what, 09 to 2018. Remaining 35 relate to failing to cooperate with the Premier League investigation. City deny all charges. So that's one. Another fact, La Liga president Javier Tobias has reported Man City for the European Commission's for allegedly fudging their balance sheets. That popped up after he's speaking at a business football summit.
How do we know that, though?
Well, he's reported them. The complaint is ongoing. And it said, you know, he's filed the complaint in 2023, and the complaint is at investigation stage. You know, and Pep was asked about this a couple of weeks ago at a press conference. I think it was following the fifth round tie against Plymouth Argyle. Three times Pep was asked about that. Three times he said next, meaning, you know, next question.
Next question.
So basically, Maswell said no comment to exercise his rights to remain silent, preventing self-incrimination by avoiding answering the questions that could be used against them. It's that simple, people. And then the latest one is obviously with this referee, Montero, linked with the Talento Sports Company, which has links to La Liga, UEFA, and clubs Man City, Aston Villa, and PSG. I mean, it's not the first time that City have been in kind of like hot waters. They were fined 60 million euros, which in today's money was probably about 50.5 million in today's money. UEFA, 2014, and forced to limit its Champions League squad to 21 players instead of 25. Violating FAP rules, but they only had to forfeit 20 million, which in today's market, about 16.8, because they complied with the governing body's measures. So if you comply, you might get a little blight. Do you know what I mean? So is it true? No smoke without fire. That's I know Mr. City's not here to defend that, but
yeah, that's why it's so quiet. But you're brave, you know. Me have to tell you, so the way I talk, it's a good job him not there.
But I don't think we would have been able to get through all that if he was here.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm a little bit biased, we, you know. He's a little bit wee business.
He's a little bit biased fan that.
Yeah, but back to Pep. Remember now, it's like any company you work for. You can't really say something that's going to go against the company in that respect. There's only certain things he can say anyway. Mm. You know what I mean? So he's going to keep his mouth quiet, isn't he? He can't really come to out and say, well, such and such, ABC. He can't do that. You know what I mean? We just have to wait till the reports come out.
Well, do you know something? I mean, you as a man might remember this conscious tune, Leaders of Black Countries, Can We Have a Talk? But what I'm saying, leaders of Man City, can't we have a talk? You know what I mean?
Talk, that's
right. They need to talk, you know.
I mean, this thing's been going on a while now, really,
man.
Isn't it? If you don't talk, it's not going to get sorted, is it? You know what my man has said?
Yeah, and they think to them boss. You know what I mean? There you go. Yeah. You know? Leaders of Man City, can we have a talk, please? You know what I mean?
But still as well, when you got money as well, you know what I mean? These things take time. When you can draw these things out over amount of period, sometimes they just drop certain cases and stuff because finances aren't there to defend them. And Manchester City's got money.
Yeah, 100%, you know. Them have money, yes.
Them have money to draw it up. But it'd be nice if this thing just come to a close now, wouldn't it? Really and truly.
Yeah, I mean, what I don't like is all this business behind closed doors. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so they might make up them own rules. You know what I mean?
Well, when it comes to business,
you know?
For the love of the game, really. Not really anymore, really, is it? It's all about money, isn't it?
Mm, it's true.
But at the end of the day, if we were players and we were getting paid money, we wouldn't be complaining.
So. Yeah, I suppose you've got a point there. I mean, it's a massive point. Going to talk about a guy who is kind of like well known in the football field, suffered a little bit of mental health, but he's looking to get back there now. Johnny Depp. In fact, if we get back to a little kind of like technical itch on that one. So Jordan Ibe is basically getting his career back on the road. The Premier League giants, ex-Liverpool player Ibe, and also Birmingham, was kind of like playing for non-league Hungerford Town. Which is they're in the seventh tier of the Southern League, which is the highest in the non-league, seventh tier. Like I said, former Liverpool and Bournemouth winger is looking to really kind of like shoot his career back. Now I'm not sure whether it can get back to them kind of like heights.
How long has he been out?
It's been out a while with mental health.
And he was sold for a club record fee a decade ago, but now finds himself playing in the seventh tier of English football.
You know, I had to fuck up my ideas. It has taken a long time, but you know, this club Hungerford has helped me.
Said, I've got a player wants to come train it. And then as soon as he walks in the room, everybody's just gone. It's Jordan Ibe.
Me going down in league, me going through certain stuff in my life off the pitch. It's a beautiful chaos. When I got my chance, I had to fill some big boots because, you know, Raheem was departing. I didn't understand the language. Even though it's Scouse, it could have been Norwegian to me.
50 million quid, mate, is a lot of cash.
It went in my bank account. It affected me a lot. It was really bad. I not wanted to be here. And it's sad that I say that. I had a DM one time from one little girl that's from like Argentina. She said to me that, Jordan, I'm a fan of yours. Please don't kill yourself. and it brought me to tears. There's not really a course for it. That's why I want to be a pioneer of mental health.
It's amazing to have someone with his calibre at this football club. We're a non-league club, you know, and not very many probably people would have heard of Hungerford Town until Jordan Ives turned up.
I'm feeling top tier now, and I'm just looking forward to the future. Sometimes I don't even start games. I'm loving football because I know what's going to come. This is going to be bigger than me. The motivation, I'm not finished. I'm taking this as my comeback.
Yeah, that's Jordan Ibe speaking from the heart. I'm not sure if you've ever kind of like seen this guy play, but he's a powerful guy, you know what I mean, on the wing, you know. And he's still young, I mean 29, maybe kind of like a bit too late for the top flight, but you know. Let's see how far it can go, and I'm certainly going to kind of look out for Ibe and stuff. I can remember when he signed, for 50 million. I mean, boom, saw the potential. It was then what splashed 15 on him in the summer back in 2026. 2016, no, I should say.
No, when I saw you, I wrong up harder.
You know?
But yeah, it must have been something decent for them to fork out that kind of money for him. But listening to that short little interview there, it sounds positive. And
yeah.
Things, you know what I mean? And he has got something else to focus on as well, besides football. So wish him well. Wish him well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, couldn't have been easy for Ibe. I mean, people think, you know, because sports athletes, I was going to just say footballers, but it's you know, talking about
athletes itself.
Because, you know, they're getting that much cash, people forget about their mental health state and that the only human as well, and it can take anybody down, you know what I mean? You know, so
Definitely.
If you know somebody who has struggled out there, don't leave them on their own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always check on them.
You know?
To them. Because when it comes to athletes now as well, it's like a personal competition sport in certain things that you have to train, you have to be up there to beat your opponents and stuff like that. And there's a lot of pressure on you, especially when you get into the media side of it now, when your career's picking up and stuff. And it's hard to maintain. It's got to be hard to maintain to be at the top at times. So you can understand everybody drilling, say you need to do this, you need to do that. The brain can only angle so much and process so much at a time. So,
yeah. Yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? Like I say, you know, if things get overload, you know, you have to kind of,
You need an outlet.
That's right. Whether you find that with sport, you know, whether you find that with fitness, whether you go and chat to somebody or your family members or your people or your partner or whatever, just make sure so that you're not alone in there.
You
know what I mean? This is the big one again. It's come round to the Steel City Derby.
Mm-hmm.
And this time we go across the city to Hillsborough, where the Owls will entertain the Blades on Sunday, 12:30 kickoff. Back to back wins, during the week for Wednesday. People might say that, they've got their little mojo back, you know what I mean? And then United were kind of like, you know, stuttering, you could say, against Bristol City. I went to that game, little bit disappointed, but you could tell that there was tired fatigue. I mean, you know, top end of the championship. If you're one of them teams looking for promotion, sometimes you're talking about three games a week. You know what I mean? And that takes things out of you, man. You know what I mean?
Not out of your interest.
Yeah. So you know, it was a bit sore on the eyes, but understandable also as well.
But that's your job, innit? That's the job you chose. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I as the captain, you know, for his views. And also it kind of invited him down to the studio as well, but captain declined that to come down, you know what I mean? I don't know what he's afraid of, you know what I mean? Because nobody bites in here, yeah? but, yeah, this is what the captain said. I'm going for a Wednesday win. Not because they won the last two games. Really? The three games they lost on the trot. In those games, There were times they played well again, and it was down to not defending and following your man. I think the game will be won or lost in the middle of the field. That's captain, and you know, kind of honest opinions there. And then again, you know, I kind of like, you know, the Danny Rowe, their manager, was kind of like saying that, you know, they'll be playing each other next season. Kind of like really having a little dig at United. I mean, both of them have got different projectors here, really, because Wednesday need to win to get into that top six with a shout of kind of like fudging it into the playoffs and fudging it at Wembley if they get there, and then, you know, into the promised land as what we know as the Premier League. And then for United's trajectory, I think come Sunday they'll be probably starting the game in third, because I believe Burnley play tomorrow, and I feel so they'll get points if they win. I think they will. They'll get points to go second, but obviously United will have that game in hand against Wednesday, so it's going to be very tight. I was looking to even the score after, you know, United beating them at Bramall Lane back in November with Tyrese Campbell, who put the ball in the Wednesday net on the 50th minute. Owls need to win, like I said, to get back into the playoff position. Do you know what?
Important game for them then.
100%. I think
very
it was
important game for
Lucas Jow, the last player to score for the Owls back in September 2017. Ouch! I just kind of mentioned that one there. And Blades looking to win 6 away games on the bounce for only the second time in their history since 1892 to 93 season. In fact, they won promotion to the first division in that season, and guess where they finished? In second place.
In second place, all right. You know? All right.
So I'm kind of feeling pretty good against this one.
It should be a good game, shouldn't it?
I mean, United have got, you know, probably, if not the best, away record in the Championship as it stands. And do you know what? I couldn't even tell you the last time that Wednesday beat United. So, you know, they'll be under pressure under their home kind of fans. And Danny Rowe, the manager, playing it down, because he's saying that, well, you know, United's set up costing, what, 125 mil. The reason why it's cost that much, sausage roll, is because of the promotions and relegations. Do you know what I mean? So you're not just gonna leave that money in the bank, you idiots. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, well, sorry about that. That's just a little getting excited for that. You know what I mean? I didn't really mean to call him an idiot, and I do apologise for that, and apologise to Captain also as well for hearing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to apologise to Captain. But if United score first, if United goes out there and they can manage to bang one in first, I think that will put the whole pressure on Wednesday, then, isn't it, really? To come back, you score one.
Yeah.
Tighten up the defence.
Absolutely. Wednesday's going to have to come out of the traps, and they're going to have to take this game by the scruff of the neck, because
if they lose this one,
you know what I mean? Like, and the other thing what nobody's talked about, do you know what? Potentially, this could be the last time we're playing Wednesday for years again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because United could be going one way,
and Wednesday's going the other.
Yeah, and what they're saying, mind the gap, Sheffield Wednesday. Mind the gap.
So mind the gap,
Sheffield Wednesday. You told us you was on your way home. You know what I mean? Hey! Yes, yeah. I am.
So the pressure's on Wednesday to come out there and do something positive. You have to do something positive.
Absolutely. But I'm going to have to back my team, you know what I mean? I'm going to have to say away win. I'm not going for a draw. I'm not sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going for away win. I'm not like Captain Mo, or the game could be won and lost in midfield. I'm saying that it's away win.
Yeah. I'm saying that if United can get one in and hold that point there, that 1-0 goal, then they're on right. If they get two, then it's all over.
See it there?
It's all over. Sorry, Captain, but I saw it go.
Hey, On to the Premier League tomorrow. City play Brighton, so it's 5th v 7th. City still without Ake, Akanji, Stones, the big hitters there. 14 league home matches without losing to Brighton. Brighton looking to do a double, you know, since they drew back. Since I drew back in kind of, I think, early on in the season, to be honest with you. I think this one's going to be a draw. Brighton, for me, they're tricky. You know, they're tricky kind of team. They'll kind of blow hot and cold. And obviously, we know this season, if you're going to get the best of Man City, it's within this season.
It's within the season.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going for a draw on this one, you know.
I'm going to say Man City's going to hold it still 1-0.
CV, if you're out there, text us your prediction. You know what I mean, Carl? Yeah, it'd be good to know what your thoughts are on this one. You know, so we're close to the wire. You know what I mean? And just, you know, if CV texts us his prediction, we'll flash that up before we, you know, do one on air. Then the other game is Arsenal v Chelsea, the local derby, second in the league, and that's probably where they'll remain until the end of the season, against Chelsea. Four. I mean, both these teams seem to be struggling at the moment. But do you know what I want to discuss in this one? Is, you know, the situation with Raheem Sterling. I get it. He's not permitted to play because his parent club is Chelsea. But unless their negotiations, clauses, agreements, discussions. But generally, you know, teams don't allow player to play against them when they're on loan. But I think because of how Sterling left Chelsea, you know, because manager said, look, you don't feature in my plans, we ain't going to play you.
They're to dash
so
him out.
Why
yeah.
didn't they put a clause in it to say, do you know what, if we play, you can play.
Yeah.
Why wool him back?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I just don't get that.
No, that is wrong, because at the end of the day, it was pushed out, in a sense. You know what I mean? So they shouldn't sit him on the bench. There should be something there that he can play. Simple as that. It's not like they went and say he was on loan to them and like they usually do. That's different. The man was pushed out of it, so
yeah,
he should be able to play.
And like the way he was pushed out was kind of unacceptable to me. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, credit to Sterling. You know, he got on his bike and, you know, he's gone in, you know, playing his football elsewhere. But he could have just said, do you know what? PM me.
And done.
Because I've got a big contract. I'm the one that's laughing. I'll keep myself fit and this, that and the other. But you still have to pay me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
But it didn't go that way, did it?
No, I mean, I kind of fell out with Maresca a little bit after that kind of like move, really. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking that the way that you're treating certain players, it's like, say, you want to isolate them and get them to play with the boys them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know?
I mean, my human being still.
He made it obvious he just didn't like the man, and that's it. He wanted him gone, and he got his way in the end.
I mean, he tried to say, yeah, you know, Sterling's a good player, but it's just not my cup of tea, really. You know what I mean? Well, have your hot chocolate instead. You know what I mean? Hey, you know? But yeah, I mean, coming to the end of another kind of like great show, you know, you can catch this if you've missed it, if you've just kind of tuned in, you can catch it within about 20 minutes, maybe 20 past 7, you know, just Google Sweet Talking Sport, you know, you can you know, you can hear the other shows also as well if you've missed them in the past, and you know come again and bring a friend, you know, because we're there,
we are trying, you know, every week we are trying, we are succeed.
See,
we're cracking, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So G, you know, anything over the weekend? Anything you're doing?
No, nothing really. So and so, we'll see where it takes us tomorrow. Hopefully, might be going out with the missus because we haven't had a date night for a while.
Oh, you have to treat yourself.
Yeah, we have to go down and do something.
You have to treat her. You have to treat both of you.
That's how it works. It's a team. It's a team event.
Put the effort in.
And that's it, succeed. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we have to go to something like, because it's been a few couple of weeks now. So, we kind of slacked up. Uh-huh. Due to what we were decorating and stuff. So, we have to catch up on that. So, we shall see.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's all you're going to get from us. Like I said, tune in next week with Dea, you know what I mean, on 93.2, also available on Dab Radio. We're out of here, people.
Laters.